Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Well, good morning and welcome to another morning on the radio with me, Luke Boner. Out there is Miss Natalie, who is filling in for Jess. Call us right now and let's get to know each other. CCTV footage of this bloke went absolutely viral. It's the man who king hit a woman in a road rage incident. And he spoke for the first time on Sunday night. He says that he was the victim. This bloke punched a 22-year-old woman during a shocking altercation at Lake Munmorah on the Central Coast last July. He says, quote, "She was dead set trying to kill me." In the interview, the 42-year-old told Channel 7 Sunday night that his encounter with the young woman was self-defense. Now, the confronting footage, which you'll see on our Facebook page, shows this bloke walking up to the young mother as she's standing outside her car with her arms folded. He then swings his right arm and hits her in the face. I'm sure most of you have seen it. He said, although he felt bad about having to raise his hand to a girl, quote unquote, he said that he was genuinely concerned for his safety at the time. He said, the truth is, I was attacked on that day. I was the victim. Now, prior to the incident, this bloke was driving to the beach on a road that dropped from 80 kilometres an hour to 60. After slowing down to the legal speed limit, he said that the car behind him, containing this girl and her girlfriend and a young baby, began to sound the horn and flash their lights. Thinking that they were in a rush, he said he let the car speed past him. In the video, the man can be seen hanging out of the vehicle's passenger side door and laughing as she hurls nails towards this bloke's ute. This is the woman. Moments later, she stops the car at a set of lights, which gives this bloke an opportunity to step out of the car. She gets out with her arms crossed, and the man approaches. He unleashed a punch that jolted the woman's head backwards and into the car window. He said, I had no choice but to act in self-defense. Now, I've seen the footage. Why would you get out of your car and approach somebody? And if they have thrown nails at you, take their number. You've got the camera on your dash. You go to the police. But it's not self-defense if you get out of the car and go and approach someone, I don't think. But that aside, is it ever okay to hit a woman, even in self-defense? I say no, it's not. And there's an old saying my dad used to say, the first person who throws a punch is usually the first person who runs out of words. And it didn't look like self-defense to me. Maybe I've missed something here. But let's take this a little broader. Road rage. Do you think road rage is on the increase, or is it just because we have all these cameras now, we're seeing more of it? You guys are out there on the roads. You're out there a lot more than I am. I really only travel from home to work and back again, and I still see cases of road rage. And you know what? It's usually somebody in a car screaming at the car next to them if the person next to them is texting or on their phone. This is only my observation. But the vast amount of temper rages I see on the road, and once again, I'm only travelling 30 minutes that way and 30 minutes this way. But I see people getting really, really angry at other people using their phones. Wasn't it interesting last week to see that survey out of Queensland that told us that most people aged between 18 and 30 didn't think using a phone whilst driving was dangerous. But getting back to road rage, are we getting worse? Are the roads that more congested? Are we that strapped for time? Are we in such a hurry that our tempers are fraying and fraying very, very easily? So the first question was, is it ever okay to hit a woman? Really a rhetorical question. We know the answer. No. Even in self-defense, you tell me. You look at this video, I don't think there's much self-defense going on. The road rage incidents around Australia, what have you seen? Do you think it's on the increase? And if you do think it's on the increase, tell me why. 133353 is the telephone number. What have you witnessed? Look, be honest. We love being honest here. We try not to judge on the night shift. Have you been involved in road rage? Have you just lost it at someone and suddenly turned into somebody you didn't think existed.
What about this story yesterday? This is just unbelievable, and I wonder how often it goes on. This is in New South Wales, but I wonder if it goes on right around the country. A Chinese developer has been promising Asian investors that they will get a permanent resident visa in as little as 6 months if they buy into a Hunter Valley land deal. Profit Palace Group has been promising quick connections to powerful politicians and even access to Australia's social welfare benefits. What? How does that work? How does a developer be able to activate people to join social welfare? A News Corp investigation yesterday showed and it revealed how the company's pledge to help wealthy Chinese families easily acquire a high-quality lifestyle was built on lies, even listing on its website cooperating lawyers and local politicians who have nothing to do with the project. And now the state government yesterday morning was demanding a high-level briefing. So was this guy just bullshitting, I'll say it, in order to get clients, or can he actually access politicians and have Asian migrants who buy into this Hunter Valley land deal get hooked up to social welfare benefits? And I wonder, if he can, how often does this happen? And is it happening all around Australia? It's amazing, isn't it? It is just amazing. The investigation will continue. We'll keep a close eye on that. Here's an interesting one. I'm tipping that most of you don't look at a website called KidSpot. Basically, it's a website, a chat site, where usually mothers talk about their kids and raising their kids and the problems they're having. And one woman has written on this, and she says, "Swearing makes me happy. It eases my tension, and I truly believe it makes me a better mum. My brother just sent me a video of his two-year-old daughter dropping the F-bomb repeatedly. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. And the fact that he videoed it reinforced to her how hilarious it was. And she said she's going to do it again. And we will all try to suppress fits of giggles and will bask in the glory of her potty mouth. After the dust has settled and the deep belly laughs abated, I've come to the conclusion that a tiny child swearing like a sailor is not ideal, but it is funny. However, I find it hard to put it on my list of worries. I try to care about swearing, but I just don't. The problem is that other people care about swearing and I don't want my kids to get into trouble. So that's what I address. How to swear in the right environment." Right? Have you been able to digest all that, folks? Here is a mother writing on KidSpot and she's saying that she allows her kids to swear, that she can't stop them, and her niece being videoed dropping the F-bomb left, right and centre was hilarious. So instead of telling her children not to swear, she's going to teach them to swear in context. She's going to teach her child to swear in the right environment. She says, "Part of the problem is that I swear all the time. Swearing makes me happy. It eases my tension. And I believe it makes me a better mum." Now, here comes the obvious question. Is it okay to let your kids swear? And in this case, not just let your kids swear, but teach them when to and when not to swear. Here I go again. "When I was young, if we swore, I remember vividly my mouth being washed out with yellow sunlight soap. I will never forget it. Didn't stop me swearing, but it certainly stopped me swearing in front of mum and dad." Did you get your mouth washed out with soap? You see, if you got your mouth washed out with soap today, docs would come and take you away. It's up there with hitting a child, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on, I reckon most of us swear. And I'm not proud of some of the things I say. Not proud at all. I show enormous restraint for 6 hours doing this radio program. When I come off air, sometimes my guard's let down. I relax a little. Dropping the C word is taboo still in this country, isn't it? It's okay. Women are allowed to call men pricks and cocks and things like that, but men aren't allowed to use the C word. It's all in context, is it? Getting back to kids, here's the question. Is it okay
for kids to swear. This mother says she's teaching her kids to swear properly. I want to know, can kids differentiate? And mind you, she's talking about her funny 7-year-old niece, hilarious, dropping the F-bomb repeatedly. Can kids differentiate between appropriate swearing and inappropriate swearing? 133353. As I said, getting my mouth washed out with yellow sunlight soap didn't stop me swearing. It just made me extra careful not to be caught swearing in front of mum and dad. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, just something else that I'll throw out at you. There is a national push to make sport and physical activity compulsory in schools. Apparently, sport's going to be made mandatory in schools under a radical plan to produce smarter and healthier kids. The Federal Sports Minister, Bridget McKenzie, has revealed plans to lobby the state education and sports ministers to make sport and physical literacy mandatory. She said it would help students get better results. Underscoring her push for reform, the Nationals' deputy leader said the cost of sport was becoming unaffordable for some families, making compulsory lessons and activity even more important. She said it was ridiculous that not every child learned to swim in primary school. God, haven't we been down this road, folks? Shortly before I went on leave, I remember we talked about the high cost of organized sport and that here we are being told constantly that our kids are fat, that we have an obese nation and we should be encouraging our kids to play sport. And then I found out from one bloke who rang from Brisbane that it cost $1,200 a year for his kids to play soccer. And that was the extreme. But I received a lot of calls that morning from people saying $400 a year, registration, uniforms, the whole thing, your weekly payments. $400 a year is not uncommon. Now, imagine if you've got 3 or 4 children. How do you afford sport? So making sport and physical activity compulsory at school, not a bad idea. I thought it already was. This is where I was scratching my head yesterday. When I went to school, we had PE, and it was part of school. And some kids hated it, some kids loved it. I loved it. I love sport. There's a great Seinfeld skit. Seinfeld mirrors real life all the time. I'm often quoting Seinfeld. But he says PE, or gym, as they call it in America, was like going to another planet for 2 hours. One moment you're studying maths and English and geography. The next minute you're climbing a rope and being pinned down on a wrestling mat and having your jocks pulled up your ass. And then next thing you know, it's back to English and it's back to geometry. But we had compulsory PE. Everyone had to take part. There was a PE uniform. It was a white T-shirt and blue shorts. I'll never forget it. So what's changed? Why now suddenly does the Federal Sports Minister, Bridget McKenzie, feel the need to confront all the different state education ministers and try and convince them that compulsory sport and physical activity is needed? I already thought it was. If you've got kids at school, tell me, is there still compulsory PE? And getting back to her thoughts on swimming, I've said it 100 times. This isn't new. We do need to make swimming compulsory. We do need to have swimming lessons compulsory and free. I know we're constantly subsidising people's lifestyle choices, but this is one that has to happen. Too many Australian kids drown every year. And we're not just talking people who live near the coast. There are a lot of backyard swimming pools and a lot of kids drown in dams. And I don't know what's changed since I was a kid. Everyone used to be able to swim. Mind you, I grew up next to the ocean where there was an ocean pool that was free. But anyway, let's talk about that this morning. I think it's important. 133353 is the telephone number. And can I just finish this monologue? And Natalie, I'll ask your opinion on this. Why is it, and I'm going to discuss this with Simon on the Man Cave on Friday, but I'm happy to preempt this morning. Why is it that in nearly every household, the male of the house or the men who live under that roof are castigated, hunted down, and pariahed if they don't put the toilet seat down. What is so important about the toilet seat being put down? It's only women who complain. Why is it such an issue?
I actually don't have an issue with it. I'll just pop it down. Doesn't worry me at all.
You're unusual then.
Probably. What does annoy me though is trickles around the toilet or on the toilet seat.
No, I understand that.
But the up-down thing doesn't bother me.
And while I'm at it, I'm going to ask this question because we answer the important questions on this program. When you put the new toilet roll on, or when you do, I'm the only person in my bloody house that knows where the toilet rolls are, obviously, because I'm the only one that replaces it. Jesus, it really annoys me. Anyway, when you put the toilet roll on, do you have the toilet roll hanging away from the wall or down next to the wall?
Next to the wall.
No, it's up and it's around and away.
Under.
No, over.
So you pull it under.
Over.
Are we going to get down to the nitty gritty? Are you a scruncher? Are you a folder? Is it going to turn into one of those conversations?
I hadn't thought about that. Scruncher.
Folder. I'm a folder.
And when you finish wiping, do you look at it?
Hell no. Do you look at it?
Yeah, of course, because you've got to know when you finished.
Or do you want to know what's in it? See, when I came back from Thailand, I had to check because, you know, just in case.
Thank you. Okay, these are the important...
You just admitted you looked at it.
Well, you got to know whether or not you've finished.
And I was telling you I did once.
When I went to India with a group of listeners...
You have to check every single day.
We had the squatties.
Oh, the drop toilet?
The squat down toilet. Oh. And guess what? There's no paper.
Course,
you cannot put paper down there.
Did you use grass?
No. There's a little bucket of water that you put your hand in. I know.
Well,
I know.
You're cultured, aren't you?
I know.
It's part of the experience.
You cannot use toilet paper in a squatty because it doesn't flush. It's all gravity. You can't put paper.
But wouldn't it dissolve because it's meant to disintegrate?
No. Not if you use a Coles plastic bag. 133353. This is The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. Yeah, that's us. Hello and welcome to Tuesday. Craig's been waiting on, and those callers on hold, I will get to you. Please don't go away, and thank you for being patient. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Luke. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Craig.
Mate, I want to talk about sick days, but before that, I've got a mascot story for you, mate.
Okay, go on.
Remember the old Wonderland that used to be out at Eastern Creek?
Yeah, for those around Australia, this was a theme park. It was in Western Sydney. It was called Australia's Wonderland. And it was famous for the roller coaster, the Bush Beast from memory.
That's correct, mate.
How am I going?
Yep. You're going good, mate. You're going good. They used to have the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons out there.
That's right. Yeah, Hanna-Barbera Land. That's right.
Yep. Yep. And, I remember one day I was out there with my brother, and they had somebody out the Top Cat mascot. And the Top Cat was a very hot day. And they had his Audi just bear with me, mate. And what happened was they'll get down the sun, just stay under the heat.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of yum weights behind Top Cat.
Yeah.
And they grabbed the tail of Top Cat without anyone looking, and they tied it to the awning.
No.
Yeah. So as Top Cat's going to walk off, fall flat on its backside, all they ripped down the suit.
Oh, no. You see, Natalie was right. If you dress up as a mascot, or as a character, you get picked on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mate, me and my brother, we went ourselves laughing. I'm not joking. We laughed that hard. It was just hilarious.
Yeah.
But talking about sick days, mate, people say it's entitlement. Mate, I'm a traffic controller.
Yep.
And I run job sites all over Sydney.
Mm.
And I've been doing it for the last 11 years. I've had 2 sick days in 11 years.
What do you put that down to?
Well, basically, mate, one, I'm casual, so if I don't work, I don't get paid.
Yep.
And two, when I've had those 2 sick days, I've messaged my boss. We're a small company, but we've got some pretty big contracts. And what I've done is I've gone out to the job site, told him I'm crook as, can you get me relief, please, while I tell you. At the end of the day, I'm still the face of the company, mate. Just because I'm sick, I still wouldn't actually get the job signed up for the client. Otherwise, we're going to lose business. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
If I lose business, I don't get money. Now, there's this other bloke that works for us. I won't mention names, obviously. The young bloke. He's had a bill with the company about 3 weeks. He's already had 4 days off.
Why? What was his?
He goes, I'm crook. He had a go at the owner of the company the other day. He goes, how come he gets a year and I don't? He goes, you want to know why? He goes, why? He goes, I can't afford to lose contracts. He goes, he's been with me for 11 years. He's had 2 sick days in 11 years, and I've gotten relieved in both times because we need to keep contracts. He realises that. I had to take the hoop for Modium one day. I had diarrhea. But if I didn't go out there, this is about. I can't miss a gym at 3 in the morning and say, look, I can't go.
Hang on. This young bloke that's only been there for how long?
About 4 or 5 weeks.
4 or 5 weeks. He said, how come he gets a ute and I don't? Is that what he said?
That's exactly right.
How come he's been there 4 or 5 weeks? How old is he?
19.
19. He's been there 4 weeks. He's already had how many sick days?
Four.
And he said to the boss, how come he gets a ute and I don't?
The boss
is 19.
He goes, basically, mate, one, he's paid his dues. Two, he's proven himself for free. You don't get enough of enough. If you want a ute, he goes, you prove yourself to me. He goes, you've got a lot to prove. He goes, you've only been here about 4 weeks. You've already had 4 days off. 4 to 5 weeks, you've already had 4 days off. He said, you know how many sick days he's had? He's had 2 sick days in 11 years. I can tell you what jobs they were. And he was crook as, but he waited until I came out to relieve him so he could go home. He still set the job up for me, so I kept the contract.
I can't believe it. He's 19 years of age. Does he still live at home with mum and dad?
Yeah.
How much a week would he be on?
We're casual, mate, but on a really good week, he can bring out about $1,500.
$1,500 after tax, lives with mum and dad. Has had 4 days off, and he's only been there 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you believe he was sick?
No, I don't believe he was sick at all. I do believe he was sick, but I think it was self-inflicted.
He was hungover. Were the days he took off, were they on a Monday or a Friday?
Yes.
There we are.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and what was the Thursday night? But he went to a concert the night before.
There you are. It's unbelievable. I don't know whether you heard the employment bloke Graham Wynn talk about half an hour ago. He reckons that there are jobs out there, but young Australians don't want them. Do you believe that?
Mate, we're screaming for traffic controllers.
Really?
We're screaming for them. Because
Natalie will be looking for something in 3 weeks.
Mate, I think that Natalie's a lot more qualified than the traffic controller somehow. But seriously, mate, we're screaming for people.
I'm still visualising her as Wonder Woman. I'm sorry. Go.
Yeah, we've got a lot of young kids, Luke, but you know what the problem is? They want the money, but they don't want to do the bloody work.
Are we generalising here? Are we being too tough? How old are you, Craig?
I'm 50, mate.
You're 50. When was your first job? When did you leave school?
I left school when I was 16.
Yeah.
My first job was the original KFC at Mount Druitt.
Are you really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, I've done a lot of work since then. I've done warehousing. So the last 5 years have been in traffic control, but I've done warehousing. I've been on production lines in chicken factories. I actually cleaned toilets at one stage when the Olympics were on, like at Homebush, like the aquatic centre. So, mate, don't tell me there's no work out there. The problem is people don't want to look for it and they don't want to work. They're always looking for excuses. That's the problem, mate.
Wow. This is Craig, folks, 50 years of age, left school at 16, got a job at the first KFC that opened in his suburb. We find out that there are 765,424 Australians on welfare, and they've been on welfare payments for longer than 5 years. Are we being too tough? We spent over $157 billion on welfare 2015-2016. It's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money. And here he is. He's got a 19. He's a traffic controller. There's a young 19-year-old. He's had 4 sick days. He's been there 4 weeks. Craig believes self-inflicted. I don't know. Do you reckon this 19-year-old will last, or do you reckon that you can teach him a few manners?
Mate, bottom line is, Luke, they need to want to learn. It's as simple as that. All they want the money. They know it's good money, but they want the money. They don't want to do the work, mate. Plain and simple.
Mm.
You know, they want everything given to them. They don't do the work. And what I said to him the other day, like, we had to close a lane, waterman in the middle of the road, and he goes, "We're not doing stop flow, are we?" I went, yeah, we are. That's your job. Get in the bat over there and friggin' well do it."
He's been on the job 4 weeks and he says to the boss, "How come that bloke gets a ute and I don't?"
Yeah.
133353. Are you relating to this, listeners? Tell me, just changing the subject for a second, Craig.
Yeah, mate.
KFC. You were there when you were 16. You're now 50.
That's right.
Tell me this, because I have a theory. I think that the original recipe, KFC, I think it's changed. I don't think it's as good as it used to be.
I guarantee you it's not.
I've had KFC here. There's a KFC up the road here, and we're in the middle of a very big city, and it's a very busy KFC, and I couldn't eat it. It was shit. It was overcooked. The taste wasn't the same. And then someone bought KFC on the weekend, and I had a piece, and this was from our local down the road, and it was the same. It was no good. Are my taste buds changing, or do you reckon it's changed?
KFC's doing the shit years ago, mate.
What are they doing different?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know, but these so-called secret herbs and spices, they're certainly not there anymore, mate. It's a totally different flavour.
I reckon you're
totally
right.
It's a totally different taste. Like, seriously, it's not there anymore. It's not the original recipe anymore, mate.
Hey,
like, that's quite obvious.
Natalie, do you eat KFC? I've noticed that younger people today, Craig, they call it Dirty Bird. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have.
Do you call it Dirty Bird?
I call it crap.
Greasy Dirty Bird.
Do you say Dirty Bird, do you?
No, I don't.
Do you eat KFC?
I actually never heard Dirty Bird. No, I don't. I don't really eat meat.
You don't eat meat?
No. God. Not a lot of it, anyway.
Anyway, the original 11 different herbs and spices, you reckon they're out the window?
Absolutely.
You watch, we'll get a reaction to this because KFC, along with other...
People love KFC. In Bathurst, they've got one, and the queue is around the corner, like out the driveway, around the corner. It's crazy.
KFC, like any large corporation, uses an organisation called Media Monitors, and whenever their brand is mentioned in the media, they get notified. So they'll be hearing everything we say right now. Can I just say to KFC, I love KFC, but something's changed. Something's changed.
Well, I'll give you a blast from the past too, Luke, from years ago, and I couldn't believe there was one still going up past Newcastle the other week when I was up that way.
Yeah.
The old Henny Penny.
Oh, the old Henny Penny.
Way before my time.
Oh, and do you remember Homestead Chicken?
Yep, sure do.
Pass the chicken around me, boys. Homestead's the one we pick on. The flavour's great. It's Australian, mate. Good on you, Homestead Chicken.
Chicken, yep.
It was green, yep. Green and gold.
You'd love it.
It looked just like the buildings were just like a KFC, same shape, but they were green and gold.
Yep.
I think they lasted 10 years, I think.
Australian company.
Australian company. Homestead Chicken. Gone. KFC still going. Do you reckon that the public bought the whole name change? Because KFC stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they changed it, I think, to make it sound healthier. I don't know. To KFC. They didn't want the name fried, I guess, in their name.
Isn't it just easier to say KFC instead of saying...
No, they officially Kentucky. Changed it. They officially changed
it. So what is it officially now?
KFC. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. It is good, though.
It used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, it still is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I thought it still was.
Yeah, it's still Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, it's KFC.
That's what it means. It's just abbreviated.
It used to say Kentucky Fried Chicken on the boards everywhere. It didn't say KFC. It had Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was always in black writing with the white background and the red.
Yeah. Do you remember how much your first Do you remember how much your first pay packet was?
Yeah, I do. It was $86.40. And I thought that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I bought with that, mate. Very first paycheck. It's embarrassing to say I bought a Donna Summer album.
There you go.
She was half of the money. I bought that album.
Hey,
show me age.
Hey, listen, I'll play you something that might show your age.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you remember the animated Kentucky Fried Chicken ad with Hugo?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Oh, my God.
How good was that?
I thought it still was.
No, it was KFC.
That's what I mean. It's just abbreviated.
They used to say Kentucky Fried Chicken on the boards.
Getting thinner, the rumblings cry. Give us Kentucky Fried, time for dinner.
And Dad hit the car.
And Hugo said, you go. And I said, no, you go. And soon he was back with a pack. And then Dad hit the track. So we ate in the back, feeling better inside.
Sing it with me, Craig.
A drive isn't funny with an empty tummy. Thank goodness for Kentucky Fried.
You know every single word. You sung that many times, didn't you?
There you go.
Craig, did you sing that song as much as Luke?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'll tell you another one Luke will remember too. Remember the old Chickadee Chicken Chips ad?
No.
Old Chickadee Chicken.
No, I don't remember it.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
The competition between Twisties back in the day.
Sing it.
Oh, I can't remember it, mate. I can't remember it. Or oh, chicken, something like that. Oh, I forget it, mate. Oh, but I do remember the animation ad.
It was animated, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, chickadee chicken chips.
Nah, you have to sing it for me. Sing it for me.
Oh, mate, I can't remember it, Luke.
Okay. Anyway,
if I did, I would, mate. I'm 50. I'm not embarrassed, mate. I don't care. Like, you know, like, I'll sing it, but I'll sing it anywhere in public, mate. I'm not joking.
But you can't do me the chickadee ad. You're no good to me. hey, Craig, I've got to go.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
You have a good day.
You too.
See you, mate. Bye bye. Good day, Charlie.
Hey, morning. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, good, Charlie.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, that song you were playing, the one from KFC, do you remember when that came out as a promotion, KFC actually gave it away as a 45? But wasn't even a proper single. It was just like this very thin, clear bit of plastic with the, you know, Hugo and the family and the car printed on it as well.
No, I don't. It was like a promotional record, was it?
It was a promotional record, and I remember, like, it was just like a you know, even almost like a bit of film that you'd put on an overhead projector. It was that thin.
Really? But you could take it home and put it on your turntable.
We took it home, put it on the turntable, and I was about 5 years old at the time, yeah, and we used to play it.
Now,
I wish I still had it, you know.
Now, for those people listening who don't know what we're talking about, that are a bit too young, this was an animated television commercial for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And as you could tell, I knew every word. It was infectious. But if you go onto YouTube and search for it, just put on YouTube Kentucky Fried Chicken ad and you'll spool down and you'll see the animated one. Have a look at how fat the family is.
That's right.
They were enormously overweight, weren't they?
They were.
Even
the car was...
Even the car was a topless car of some sort of convertible.
That's right, yeah.
But they were the fattest family you'd ever see. Isn't it funny how advertising has changed? You know, there's no way in the world KFC now would still call themselves Kentucky Fried Chicken and have Hugo and his fat family in the back of the car eating their product.
No, that's right. But truth in advertising. But, look, just on that, you were talking about KFC and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I do remember that the reasoning behind it was saying that the word fried had negative
connotations. Yeah.
So, but a mate of mine, like I was just saying to the young lady, look, and I'll tell you, this mate did he did so many drugs back in the day, he should have had a Hazchem tattooed on his butt, you know. But he did come up with this conspiracy theory about why Kentucky Fried Chicken changed it to KFC. It had nothing to do with the fried connotation.
Mm.
Now, everybody loves a drumstick, right? The drumsticks are very popular. Everybody goes for them. But a chicken has two
That's legs. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, what he said was that what they'd done, because drumsticks were so popular, that they genetically modified these chickens to have three and four legs to come up with more...
Drumsticks.
Drumsticks.
So if you could genetically... I love this. So the conspiracy theory is... that the people at KFC genetically modified a chicken so that it would have three or four drumsticks.
But it wouldn't be, because it would have three or four drumsticks, it would no longer technically be a chicken. So they couldn't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore.
No.
They changed it to KFC. Hey, like I said, we all had a laugh about it, but it stuck with me all these years.
It is not true.
Of course it's not true, but... Yeah, just the mind, the reasoning behind it. I thought, it couldn't be true. But could it?
I would love to have been able to interview the Colonel. Colonel Harlan Sanders was his name. And he was born in the late 1800s from memory. And he was the bloke behind the whole thing. I'd love to be able to have spoken to him. He died way back in 1980. But I got a funny feeling he was never really a colonel.
No, a lot of those southern men weren't. They gave themselves a title. But look, he successful very late in life, but gave a lot of money to charity, from what I remember.
Is that right? Yeah,
a hell of a lot of money to charity. So, you know, well done to him.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's nowhere near as good these days from what it used to be. And sometimes we get drumsticks that are the size of chicken wings. It's just not the same. Here's another one.
I just reckon, and this is only me, but I reckon that the recipe's changed. I don't reckon it's as good as it used to be.
Yeah, they're probably putting less salt in it because I think salt used to be a major part.
No, it's. I think they're cooking it more. I don't know. Maybe.
But here's another thing, Luke. Just think. You go and buy your roast chook from Coles or from your charcoal chicken place, and you look at that the bird, right? And you say, okay, now the leg is this big, the thigh is this big, the breast is this big, whatnot. You get all the pieces from KFC. You get the brisket, the breast, the two thighs, the leg. Put all them together. It's a pretty weird looking chicken. Honestly, because of this thing my mate came up with, whenever we get a bucket of chicken, I look at them all and I think, I don't know. Something's amiss. But anyway, mate, I'm glad I gave you a laugh. Have a good night.
Good on you, Charlie. Thanks for your call. Those people on hold, don't go anywhere. Be with you in a sec. There's going to be a crackdown on drivers getting behind the wheel while dosed up on prescription pills. And we're talking pills such as cold and flu tablets. They will include changing drug driving laws to automatically cover all prescription drugs. Now, this is in New South Wales. But surely this is of national interest. The new measures to target motorists doped up on medication such as codeine will also include an awareness campaign for GPs and pharmacists. The Roads Minister, Melinda Pavey, said the definition of drug, in inverted commas, in the Road Transport Act was being broadened to ensure people caught driving while impaired by new and emerging drugs, including pharmaceuticals, can be charged with driving under the influence. Now, what do you make of this? So at the moment, you can stop at a random breath testing unit. And if you blow a zero, but the police suspect that not is all right, you get the tongue scraping, okay? And they check you for marijuana and methamphetamine and cocaine, opiates. Now they're talking about detecting whether or not you are under the influence of a prescription medication like codeine. And like prescription pills, as I said, such as cold and flu tablets. How do you test for this? And how will we know what the legal limit is? I think it's a good idea. I'm not disagreeing with it. I don't like disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing like the members of the opposition. But I just want to know, if I have some cough medicine or a Sudafed or any of those cold and flu tablets, how do I know how many I'm allowed to have before I get behind the wheel? What will be the legal limit? At the moment, there's no legal limit for marijuana or methamphetamine or opiate substances such as cocaine. You test positive, you're done. But surely the government can't expect to charge someone who's positive to a cold and flu tablet. So how are they going to measure this? I'm all for safer driving. I'm all for any law that comes in that will make our roads safer. But have they really thought this through? 133353 is the telephone number. Meanwhile, all patients in the opioid treatment program will now have to pass a fitness to drive assessment when they start treatment, when their dose is substantially increased. Now, the last time I checked, it's not illegal to drive on methadone. Do you see where I'm confused? I need your help with this, folks. 133353 is the telephone number. If you're allowed to drive shortly after you've had a shot of methadone, well, methadone's an opiate. So what will the level be on Sudafed or cough medicine? I understand that a lot of these prescription drugs can make you drowsy, but they've got to tell us what the guidelines are. I don't know if they've thought it through. You tell me. 133353, The Night Shift, Triple M. Morning. G'day, Wayne.
Hey, Luke. How's Night Shift going?
Mate, Night Shift, well, I've been doing it for a little while now, and I'm nearly used to it.
Oh, I love your show, mate. We all love your show. And people as well, listeners, get on a Night Shift and, mate, listen to good points of view, different people from different walks of life, and it's great, mate.
Well, tell you what, do me a favour, ring him sometime soon and tell him.
I will ring Ray and tell him one day, but listen, can I just pass on a message, Luke, to me, mate?
Yeah, go.
Harry, Greek Harry, he's a truck driver, mate, with a Volvo. I just want to say hello to him, mate. He's a listener. He's listening to you right now, mate.
All right.
He's a fan of yours, Luke. He loves your mate, Greek Harry Volvo, I call him.
Harry Volvo. Good day.
Greek Harry.
Greek Harry.
The Golden Greek.
All right. Good on you, Wayne.
See you, Luke. Have a good week, mate, and take care. And Natalie, nice to meet you, darling. And I
you
hope
too,
to see
Wayne.
You one day and enjoy your show. And I hope you get used to night shift. And don't forget, put the blinds down and make sure the room's dark and be nice and quiet and you'll sleep beautiful.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
Hooroo, guys. Bye.